And so God has instructed me as a pastor and to say to you that he has taken us to a higher place and that he wants you first to understand you can't get what you want from church alone. You must have a personal walk with him. Just a walk with Jesus would change everything. If you run into him one time, it'll change your life. If you get with him just a little bit, it'll change your mind. If you let him come into your heart, it'll change your life. If you go to that secret place, that place of prayer, and spend a little time with Jesus, it will change everything around you. Therefore, you don't have to change anything and look around and go, that needs to change and that needs to change. When we start pointing our finger and looking at everything else needs to change, it's usually because something in us has changed. We no longer can bear what we used to bear, live what we used to live. And I want to encourage you today that God is asking you to come to a secret place. Some of you are so thirsty and hungry, and some of you are desiring God's touch, God, a move from God, something that's different, something that isn't like what you've always seen, something that no man can take from you. How many would like something from God that nobody can take away? You know, when I first gave my life to the Lord Jesus, I had a problem, and my problem was I didn't believe in the Holy Spirit. I didn't believe that the Holy Spirit was real today. I thought that this was all Old Testament talk and that you couldn't have the Holy Spirit today. I just figured, man, this is just a bunch of people just keep talking, but it ain't real. And I remember in the first service that I ever went to where they called a guy up and his name was Prophet Lake. And some of you know who I'm talking about. Prophet Lake has been here. But when he first came into my life, I remember going to the service invited by Chanita and some friends. And I went to the service and I said, I need something that I can never get from anywhere else. I need the Holy Spirit. I need you to touch me in such a way that I can say that no man did it, only God could do it. And when you have a testimony like that, or you ask God something radical like that, and he has to come through for you, it'll change your life. I remember asking him that question, and by the time that service was over, they all thought I was crazy. They all thought this screaming man on the right side of the church, standing on top of a chair, trying to get higher and closer to God, because I thought that's how you did it, right? And me, the cool dude, the one walking in like thinking the Holy Ghost ain't real, the thinking everybody faking it but me. And then by the end of service, I'm on top of a chair with my hands in the air, screaming, God, I need you, I need you. And everybody going, he must have a demon. Everyone thought I was crazy because of the power that I experienced that night. It was so feeling. So, and I remember walking away saying, this is something no man can ever take from me. I ask you again, do you want something that no man can take from you? Won't you lift your hands to the Lord and stand to your feet if you really want it? Come on, tell God you want it for real. Come on, you move from your position and say, God, I want something no man can take from me. I need something that nobody can talk me out of. No one can convince me out of. No one can do anything to me. No one can say anything to me, take away anything. God, I need the real deal. And if that's what you want today, I want to share with you. You may have your seats. I want you to understand we are moving in this series between the small groups. We're talking about the secret place that God is calling our church, Frontier, and your pastor, all of us, to that place where God has given us something that no man could take away. I want to tell you about the joy of prayer. Write that down, please. The joy of prayer. Now, many times we talk about, well, joy is something that is just a feeling. It's sort of like happiness, right? It's one of those things that you have that, you know, it makes your day good or makes your day bad. Either you can be angry, you could be happy. And joy is just synonymous with being happy, and it's not that. It's not. Joy is something different. Joy is when you totally understand who you are and what you have in him. Joy is tapping into the God factor that God put in you that you didn't know was there in the first place. something that a man can't take away. I want to take you to a passage in Scripture. We're going to be reading out of the New Living Translation. And we're going to go to John chapter 16 to begin this. I want to show you what joy does. I don't know about you, but I asked God myself. I said, I need joy. I'm tired of going through the motion. I'm tired of being affected by people. I'm tired of people's issues affecting my life, my walk with you, whether they're happy, whether they think I'm the worst guy in the world or the best guy in the world. God, that doesn't faze. God, I need you. I need you to be my all in all. I need what comes from you to keep me going, because if they hate me tomorrow because I tell them the truth, they may love me the next day, and the day after they may hate me again. So, God, I need you to be my all in all. Has anybody ever been there before? Where you're like, God, man, I just need you to move for me. Well, in seeking the Lord, I told him something. God, I need your joy. And in fact, when God gave me a vision of our third building, and he showed me how beautiful it was, and he showed me what it was going to look like, not this building, the next one. I'm telling you in advance so that you know I said it now, that I told you at this time in history that there is another building that's three stories high. You'll see Frontier going across. It'll be beautiful, or full of windows, and it'll be packed with a multicultural group of people coming to worship the Lord. It'll be opulent, and I mean opulent. I mean it'll look like God put his finger on it, and it looked like it turned to gold. And it's not because we're all about opulence. It's because God put his finger on it. And he says, I want the world to see what happens when I touch a church and when I put my hand on it, that every people from all races, all kindreds, all kinds can worship together and not worry about the money in their pocket, because I'll pay for all of it. That's when you know God is in the midst of you. I'm telling you now so you can look for it then, because we won't have to stress about raising money for that. God will pay himself. The Lord will take care of it himself. So it's important that we understand, how does that stuff come about? I remember seeing this building, how opulent it was, and I told the Lord at the end of the vision, I said, Lord, I can't do this. How can I do this? There's no way I can do this in my lifetime. How can this happen? Who am I, God? Who? And God said, say not your own words, say mine. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I said, oh, God, you're right. I tell my church that all the time. I literally said this in the vision. I tell my church, sorry, God, I was wrong for doubting you. And then I said, but I'm going to ask you for one thing. If you're going to give me this, because I'm not a big guy about riches, and I don't care about money, and I care about purpose. Hello, somebody. I care about pleasing the Lord. I want to make sure I'm right, because I got a place I want to go to. There's a heaven for me. There's a place in heaven for Steve Yates, and I want to make it. So all that other stuff is fluff to me. But if you say do it, I'll do it. But you've got to give me joy. I said, Lord, I can't do all that if you don't give me joy, because that ain't what makes me happy. If you don't give me joy, this ain't going to make me happy. If you don't give me what it takes to build that, I'll never get it done. I need the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It's not just my strength, it's your strength. It's the joy of the Lord that keeps you going every day. It's the joy of the Lord that gets you up despite all the bad news, sad news. It's the joy of the Lord when you're looking at trouble and trouble ain't going to turn and you got to walk right through trouble. It's the joy of the Lord that keeps you walking. Hello, somebody. When you lose your loved ones, when you lose the one you care about, when you're losing in life and it looks like, oh man, I'm about to lose it all. It's the joy of the Lord that keeps you alive. And I want to show you how the joy of the Lord works. We're going to start at verse 16. And Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Remember, we're talking about that secret place. And I want to encourage you that you, if you haven't committed, that you commit to God to go 30 minutes in prayer, 30 minutes in study, 30 days. And see what God would do if you don't change your heart, change your mind, change your disposition. Jesus with his disciples is talking with them towards the end of his life. And he said these words, in a little while, you won't see me anymore. But a little while after that, you will see me again. A little while you won't see me. And a little while after that, you'll see me again. Jesus was always good at that, wasn't he? He'll say something to you, and you're like, okay, what's that mean? Well, just so you know, you're just like the disciples. Look at verse 17. Some of the disciples asked each other, what does he mean when he says, in a little while, you won't see me, but then you will see me, and I'm going to the Father. They were asking among themselves, what do you mean a little while I'll be gone and then I won't be gone? What's he talking about? I don't understand. And sometimes Jesus will say things to you and you don't understand it in the moment. But after a while, if you just be obedient to what God told you to do, if you just do what he told you to do, you'll understand why he told you to do it. Hello, somebody. And so, and they said, and what does he mean by a little while? We don't understand. We don't get it. Look at verse 19. Jesus realized they wanted to ask him about it. So he said, are you asking yourselves what I meant? Because y'all are confused. I said, in a little while, you won't see me, but a little while after that, you'll see me again. Next verse. He goes, I tell you the truth. You will weep and mourn over what is going to happen to me, but the world will rejoice. What he was referring to is that this is prior to him going to the cross to die, prior to him resurrecting from the dead. And he says, a little while, I'll be gone. In other words, they're going to crucify me, and they're going to put me in a grave. And the world is going to rejoice that they got rid of the voice that was convicting them. Right now, you know, all around the world, people are afraid to tell the truth about Jesus. The church has gotten such a bad rap, and people are totally afraid to share their faith and to tell others about Jesus. And I want to encourage you in this church, if we're not telling people about who he is, if we're not inviting him to his presence, people to his presence, we're not living up to who we are. We are Christians, Christ people. We are Christ people, and we walk in his ways. And one of the responsibilities we must have is have a boldness to talk about him and invite people to where he is. Listen, if you don't like your church, then pray that your church gets to be what you like. Come on, somebody. Don't critique your church. Pray for your church. Don't like the preaching? Pray, I'll be a better preacher. But don't critique the preacher. Pray for your preacher. Hello, somebody. See, you have the power of prayer to change what you don't like. If it's in God's will, it'll change. And God is trying to tell us we've got to get out there and talk to people. There are people within a mile of this church that doesn't know him, that are dying on the vine. Let me ask you a question. What do you have as a believer? What do you own right now because you confess Christ? Eternal life. You have the Holy Spirit. You have a heaven waiting on you. You've got Jesus waiting on you. You got the power of God in this earth. But what does a person have that doesn't have Jesus? They have no hope. We have a heaven, but they have a hell. What is our responsibility but to go and tell others who he is? Ladies and gentlemen, God was saying this to us, and he was speaking to his disciples. He says, are you asking among yourselves what I meant? He says, in a little while, the world is going to rejoice, but you will grieve. But your grief will suddenly turn to what? Wonderful. No, not just joy. Wonderful joy. Have you ever experienced wonderful joy? Not just joy. Wonderful joy. It said, and he puts it like this, 21, watch this. Women know what I'm talking about. Moms know what I'm talking about. It will be like a woman suffering the pains of labor. When her child is born, her anguish gives way to what? Because she's brought a new baby in the world. All those years, all those months of suffering with that labor pain, there comes a time where it's time to give birth to purpose. And God is saying right now in your life, in your individual life, God is calling you to give birth to purpose. Calling you that now all the trouble you've been through isn't just because you just want to, God wants you to suffer. He knows at the end of the day, there's a purpose behind it all. There's a birth, there's a baby, a purpose coming out of your life. And that when it comes, you won't remember the pain that caused it to come. You're going to remember the joy of the new life that you have. Hello, somebody. He says, in a little while, you'll be sad and you'll be sorrowful because of the pains. But then in a little while longer, you'll have wonderful joy. Wonderful joy. Now watch this. Verse 22. Would you read it for me, please? Did you hear what he just said? He says, when I see you again, then you will rejoice, and no one, say with me, no one can rob you of that joy. There is a joy that somebody can't take from you. There's a joy circumstances can't take from you. There is a joy that life can't take away from you. And when you go into prayer, and I'm asking you to open up your ears tonight. Listen to me as if you have never heard me before. I'm going to tell you something about you that you probably don't even know. I'm going to share something you have that you probably didn't even realize belonged to you. A joy that's unspeakable. A joy that's so wonderful. A joy when you understand what he has done. Watch this. Verse 23. He says, at that time. Now, this is the kicker. Get ready. Underline this next text. At that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. Now, that's very interesting text. Let me ask you a question. When you pray, who do you pray to? When we talk about this. Is it God, Jesus, or do you pray to the Holy Spirit? Okay, all those who think you should pray to God, raise your hand. Those who think you should pray to Jesus, raise your hand. Those who think you should pray to the Holy Spirit, raise your hand. Those who don't know, raise your hand. Oh, y'all the scariest group. Y'all down here like this. Y'all, put them up like this. How many don't know? How many don't know? I mean, this is reality. How many don't know which one to pray to? Okay, all right. So we have an idea that who we're supposed to pray to, but I need you to hear what Jesus had to say about this entire matter. Watch this. He says this. He says, at that time, what time? The time when he comes back and your joy will be full. He says, you won't need to ask me for anything. You know what that reminded me? You know what I just thought of when I read that text? I realized something. When the disciples did what they did in the New Testament, who did they ask? You ever thought about that? Did they pray to God? Did they pray to Jesus? Or did they pray to the Holy Spirit? Who did they ask? How many say they asked God? How many think they asked Jesus? How many think they asked the Holy Spirit? Okay, watch this. When the woman with the issue of blood came and couldn't be healed, who did she go to? Jesus. When Jesus called them on the mount and set aside the 12 apostles, he sent them into the world to cast out demons. Who gave them that power? Jesus. Throughout the entire text, the centurion says, Lord, if you but send a word, my servant will be healed. Who did he ask? Jesus. When it came down to Peter's mother-in-law in the upper room and she had a fever, who went up and prayed for her? Jesus. Throughout, when it came down to the 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread, who blessed it? All of this time, throughout entire Jesus' ministry, nobody talked to God. They only asked him. I need you to get this. They only asked him. And if we don't understand this truth, we will read the Gospels and do the same thing. Well, I got to talk to Jesus because, you know, just a little talk with Jesus changed everything, right? I got to talk to Jesus. I got to ask Jesus. I got to talk to Jesus. And you don't understand who you are. Every miracle, every sign and wonder, everything that occurred in the New Testament was because they went to Jesus and Jesus did it. But Jesus is about to tell you something that changes your life. I want you to watch this. He says, at that time, when I come back, you won't need to ask me for anything. So let me see if I can get you to do this. Repeat after me. Well, no, say these words. I won't ask Jesus for anything.
I won't ask Jesus for anything.
Anybody afraid to say that? Anybody besides me? That's why I had y'all say it. Amen. No. No. Listen. He says there's going to come a time in history you won't have to ask me nothing. Why? Why in the world would Jesus say, you won't have to talk to me about nothing? Watch this. I tell you a truth. You will what? Ask the Father and there is a, listen to me now. He's given us the formula for joy. He's saying, you want a joy that no man can take away? Let me tell you why. Because there's going to come a time you won't need to ask me anything. You can go to the Father directly and he will give you and grant you your request because you use my name. Why would God grant you that request? Why did it change? The miracle worker, the Messiah, the Christ walked the earth, did miracles, signs, and wonders, and we had to always go to him to get it done. But he says, there's coming a time where you will never have to come to me again, but you'll go to my Father in my name, and he'll give it to you. Let me ask you something. When was the last time you asked the Father for something because he has to give it to you because Jesus said so? We went to Portland, Oregon, and Tanita knows this. We walked up to the, they have this big building, there are about 6,000 members there, and we went to the back side of the building and the door was locked. And you know, it's a big building, so you couldn't hear us if you banged on the door. And I looked at Chanita, I said, after reading this text, I said, you know what? I said, I'm going to have me some fun. I just learned something about myself. I said, the Father will give me what I ask because of what Jesus did. I said, watch this. Father, in Jesus' name, have somebody come to the door. And I stopped, and right around the corner, this dude starts walking and said, I always come to the back because every time we start a meeting, there's always somebody out here that maybe ain't here, and we didn't know, so I decided to come and check, and here you are. And we walked in the door. I'm like, yes, sir. I'm having me some fun. It's starting, y'all. But listen, you need to understand why. Not just that you can, but why you can. Watch this. He says this. He went on to say, at that time, you won't need to ask. You can ask because you use my name. Verse 24. Watch this. You haven't done this before. You want proof the disciples never asked God? Jesus said himself, you have never asked the Father directly. Why? Because you had to come through me. Everything had to come through me. He said, ask using my name and you will receive. And you will have what?
Abundant.
Say that with me. Abundant. Say it again.
Abundant.
We are talking about the joy of prayer. See, part of the problem is that we don't know how to ask because we keep asking the Father, thinking that, oh, well, Lord, or we go to Jesus, Jesus, I need this, Jesus, I need that, Jesus, because you don't know who you are. He says, don't come to me. You don't need to do this anymore. Go to my daddy. There's a reason you, listen, the whole point in your sorrow is that I had to die on a cross so that I would make a way for you to be like me. Listen to me. Jesus, this is why I learned about Jesus. He's so beautiful and compassionate. What king would give away his kingdom? What king on earth would sacrifice and spread his kingdom? Because he says, I want you to have what I got. Come on, somebody. There's no other king like that king. He says, I'll die on the cross, get my blood into the earth, and then you are sons and daughters of my Father. You don't have to ask me anymore because you're just like me. I got out of the way so you can get to my daddy. Come on, somebody. Woo! Listen. He said, I want you to have an understanding that your sorrow can go away now, because as the king who died, I was between you and the Father. I was the Messiah, the Christ. I was the chosen one, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. But when I took away the sins of the world, I didn't just turn around and become the go-to man. I stepped aside and sat down on the right hand of the Father so you could come directly to the daddy. Come on, somebody. You want your joy to become full? Start talking like a son. Start talking like a daughter. Start to see God manifest in your life like you've never seen before. I love this text. Go to verse 25. Look at this. He says, I've spoken of these matters in figures of speech, but soon I'll stop speaking figuratively and will tell you plainly about all about the Father. Then you will what? Uh-huh. Let's try that again. Go back. Then you will ask in my name. I'm not. Did you hear what he just said? He says, you can ask my name, but don't get it twisted. I'm not going to ask the Father for you. I'm not going in your place. I'm not talking to God for you. You have to talk to God yourself. Do you understand? We're going 30, 30, 30 because you have to now understand who's your father, who's your daddy. You got to understand why the Holy Spirit sent a spirit inside of you crying, Abba, Father. Because now the spirit that God gave you is a spirit of an adopted son that says, Father, now he is your daddy. You got the same rights to walk in on him and ask him for what you want like Jesus had. And that's why Jesus can say these words. And he says, and when I'm gone, greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. I'm out of the way now. I don't have to be the one you have to go through. You can go to him yourself, and your imagination is your own. You can dream up any kind of prayer you want, and you can see miracles happen. The bigger your imagination, the bigger the prayer. And all I'm saying to you is you have the right to go yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, I need you to understand something. That at that time, he says, I'm not saying I will ask the Father anything on your behalf. Look at 27. Now, let me tell you, this is what you must understand. For the Father himself loves you dearly. Would you underline that? The Father himself loves you dearly. Many of us, we think God only loves us when we do right. We think the standard for God loving us is because we're perfect. We don't make mistakes. But you misunderstand the Father's love. Here's why God loves you. The Father himself loves you dearly. Why? Because you love me and believe that I came from God. The day you gave Christ your life, the love of the Father is upon you. I mean, not just simply upon you. He loves you dearly. Church, what have we withheld from God because we're afraid of God? What have we withheld from our Father because we think he wouldn't give it to us? What have we not prayed because we think it's too small or too big? What is it that you have now not understood your rights and authority as a believer and not gone to your daddy because you have the right to? Look what he says in verse 28. Watch this. Verse 28. He says this. We've talked about what does it mean to have the Trinity? What does it mean that Jesus came from the Father? He says, yes, I came from the Father into the world. He didn't say I came from heaven. He says, I came from where? The Father. He didn't come from heaven. He came from the Father into the world. And now he's not leaving the earth to go back to heaven. He says, listen, I will leave the world and return where? He's not leaving to a place. He's leaving to a person. He's going back right into the Father. Verse 29. Then his disciple says, at last you speak plainly and not figuratively. Verse 30. Listen to what they said. Now we understand that you know everything, and there's no need to question you. From this, we believe that you what? Came from God. When we talk about the unity of the Father, the Trinity, all in one, Jesus didn't come from beside the Father. He came from the Father. He returned to the Father. And he says, listen, now we believe. Look at verse 31. 31 says, Jesus asked, do you finally believe? Now you get it? Look what he says in verse 32. But the time cometh, indeed it is here now, when you will be scattered, each one going his own way, leaving me alone. Yet I will never be alone because what? The Father is with me. Verse 33. I have told you, listen to me, I have told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I've overcome this world. If he can do it, and now he stepped aside so you can have access, because when he died on that cross and sent forth his spirit inside of you, you don't ever have to ask him again. When you go to the Father in his name, the Father himself will do it for you, because his love is abundantly upon you. You have access to God. Would you stand to your feet, please?